If this is your first time here, or you haven't been here like in a really, really long time, we're trying to update our database. How many of you got an email from me? All right, so you got that email. And if you clicked on it, like accept or respond, what happens is now, what is it called, Real Media or something. What happens is this week I'll send you out a link to your email where you can watch a, I think it's 18 minutes this week, an 18-minute long video, short little mini teaching thing on Simplify, which will be my 4-week series of messages starting next Sunday. And I think after this morning at Harvest, like all of Harvest wants to come, so it ought to be interesting. Oh, more the better, right? Well, all I ask is, have you ever been overwhelmed, overscheduled, or exhausted? And I felt like the whole congregation went, ugh. I said, well, I'm going to be preaching a 4-week series of messages on how to maybe find some margin for our souls so we don't always feel overwhelmed, overscheduled, and exhausted. And then I preached the message that I preached a few weeks ago, or last, no, 2 weeks ago here, on 15 minutes with God, having coffee with God. And I had a rocking chair, and we actually gave away, I don't know, about 400 cups of coffee. I had those little Via little coffee things, and my youth group, it was Youth Sunday, and they handed them out. I always have a lot of liberty on Sundays, but when it's Youth Sunday, I have a little more leeway of some of the stuff we do, and so it was a lot of fun, and the teenagers led worship and did drama and did dance, and so it was, they're just a sweet group of people, and they're raising funds to go to the Philippines with me, and you should all join me in the summer of 2016 on a missions trip to the Philippines. One family shared with me that the daughter, the husband and wife all want to go, and they've already raised $3,000 towards their trip. I'm like, you need to lay hands on me so I can raise that kind of money. If there's this refuge cards, and if you fill one of those out, normally what happens is I'll usually send you a text or a call and just thank you for coming. And then I will send you that link to real-time media. And it's completely up to you. And at any particular time, too, you can always just unsubscribe. But once you're on there, once you accept it, you can search through the whole list of resources and find anything you want to know about, whether it's parenting or children or youth or just leadership. There's so many different things. You can go and just click on it and say, you know, I'd like to know about that. And you can watch teaching videos at your own schedule, your own time. I know some of you like work the night shift, and so that you could do it in the morning or whenever it's convenient for you. So I want to encourage you to fill those out and then just place them, either give them to, put them on the counter, the bar, or in the box, or put them in the offering bag if they're filled out before it goes by. That'd be great. We have this little bag here, and our goal one day is to need two of these. So we either need to put a whole lot more in it or get a whole lot more people. But the goal is to have two of these. And I was thinking about a time in Scripture. And somebody told me one time that you shouldn't talk about money because it offends people. I said, I've never been offended with money. I've only been offended when I didn't have enough money. I've never walked up and said, you know what, I am really offended. I have too much money. Ever. Or I've never been offended when somebody says, you know what, I'd like to give you $1,000. I'm like, that offends me. Never been offended at receiving. All right, so there's a story in the Bible, and Jesus is hanging out, and they're around the temple, and they're all hanging out at the temple, and Jesus with his, you know, disciples that one day are going to, like, change the world for him and take on his ministry. And he said, whoa, did you guys see that? Did you see that? And they said, see what? And they used to have these, I don't know if they were brass, I think they were probably brass, and these great big brass plates. And when the offering was taken, the people would walk up basically in front of everybody and drop their money in these big brass plates, you know? And so it wasn't real private. People could watch you kind of give. And this lady went up and she dropped like, I don't know, like say 5-10 cents in. And Jesus like, man, did you see that? oh my, I mean, that's amazing. And they're all like, dude, it was 10 cents. Like even now, you know, way back then, we can't buy anything with 10 cents. It was 10 cents. He goes, no, man, you don't get it. She gave, today, she gave more than everybody here. And so these guys are scratching their head thinking, I don't get it. How is it that this lady gave, I mean, they're all looking at each other like, man, Jesus, math is not your deal. Because that wasn't a lot of money. And he said, no, you know what? She didn't give out of the extra money she had left over that week. She gave everything she had. She gave out of her need. You know? She gave her camel fare, you know, on the way home. But the point is that when we give, and when we give to the ministry, give to the Lord, it's not like equal giving is what God's looking at. Like if everybody gave a dollar, like everybody's like, whoa, God thinks that's awesome. That's not the way it goes. There's some of us sitting in this room today where God has really blessed us over the years, and we can write out a check for a certain amount. There's some of you right now that you don't even have jobs. And one check that maybe one of us would write out would be like 6 months worth of what you make, maybe. I got that. You know, and you might say, dude, I won't, you know, people are broke nowadays. They don't go out anymore, so I don't get any more babysitting jobs. I'm broke. I got it. But what happens is God watches your heart, and over time, when you're young, he watches that heart. I remember when my kids were little, and Bobby and Helen, you appreciate this. Remember when you're going to church, and it's just kind of like, even if you didn't want to give an offering, you had to give an offering because your kids were begging for money because they were definitely going to give something in the offering bag. And if you're a parent, you know how that works. You're just like, I need offering money. I need offering money. And you're just like, it's like so convicting because you're thinking like, I don't know if I was going to give, but I'm going to give money to my kids because they're giving in Kidstown. I think something happens when we get older. We don't have that same attitude of just we want to give. We do vacation Bible school at the church every year, and I'm telling you, they have offering contests. It's amazing with you, and they're not offended. There's a contest. They just want to win the contest. You know, one day night, it's the boys against the girls, and those girls are going to bring more money in than those boys. What if one night we had the girls against the boys and the offering in here? You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, but we lose the fun of it. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to have the bag go by. And I just want to set you free. It's not really how much you put in here sometimes. It's really just out of your heart. I mean, what are you doing? And maybe we all just become like little kids again where it's fun again. It's fun. It's not like this big, huge thing. And then someone would say, yeah, it's fun for them because they don't have to earn it. And then I would say, yeah, but if we really understand that all we really have is because God blessed us, then really, it's still his responsibility, right? Father, thank you for the refuge. Thank you for offerings. Thank you for the example in the scripture where the lady literally gave 5 or 10 cents and you were impressed. God, tonight may you be impressed with our giving and our offering because it's our heart that it represents. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew, can you grab this and start this thing around? All right. I had some helpers today, and they ran around, and they handed out two of these to every one of you in the room, hopefully, called Simplify. The reason I'm doing this is because I want you to remember that next week the series starts, but I wanted you to have an extra one in case you wanted to give it to a friend or invite a friend at work or at school or a neighbor or a relative to come out next week. We'll start the series, and it would be awesome. You know, if some of your friends came out and you guys could just begin to process this ourselves. Our small group will start on, where's my wife? Can we do Wednesday nights? Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. Or Thursday, which night? Wednesday? Let's do Wednesday. All right. And Wednesday night, we'll be meeting at my house in Greenbrier behind the DMV. Say 7 o'clock, like 7 to 8:30. For anybody who wants to just kind of hang out, drink coffee, I don't know, eat sugar, bring kids if you got them, it's fine. And we'll process simplifying together. and we'll get real and honest on, hey, is this working and what do we need to make it work? So you're all invited to my house, and so are all your friends. Amen? All right. You got a picture of a couple animals for me, Stace? In a couple weeks, or October 11th, in this building, we're going to have a fundraiser for Blankets for the Homeless. And some of you are already so amazing. You already started bringing in blankets, and I've been getting bags of hats and gloves. And my mom and a bunch of her lady friends are actually crocheting scarves and praying over them the entire time and then anointing them with oil. So when this random homeless person gets this scarf, they want him just to be blessed and just touched by the Lord. I'm thinking, Mom, you're so amazing. She says, can we make hats for him too? I'm like, yeah, you can. You can. You really can. So I want to encourage you that if you have blankets and stuff and you can't make it on the 11th, then bring them next Sunday, because that'll be the last Sunday we'll be collecting them before our event, all right? Also, if you'd like to come and help with this event, help us make some tacos and hang out with some artists and set up and clean up and all that stuff, it's going to be a really fun day. If you've never been to one of these events, they're a lot of fun. The last one we did for human trafficking was so much fun, and the tacos were really good too, and they're only a dollar. I mean, they're cheaper than Taco Bell now, I think. So, and somebody said they were better than Taco Bell. They had real meat in them. No donkey. All right. Well, I want to talk to you about why. Why give blankets to the homeless, or why care about the poor? And it has everything to do with sheep and goats. Everything. And when you look at this picture, before I read the text, if you had to be one of those, the sheep or the goat, which one would you want to be? How many goats? A few goats in the room. How many sheep? Sheep. Sheep taste better, and you want somebody to eat you. All right. Let's just read this text, and then we're just going to process it, and it's not going to take long tonight. All right, and it's a long one. Can you guys read that? You guys came and read that? We could have put that meme in a couple of slides next time. All right, I'll read it. All right, it's Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Okay, let's just pause for a moment. Don't read anymore. All right. There's a day coming. All right, let's back way up. God makes man. Makes the Garden of Eden, makes the earth, makes everything, and man gets dumb and eats the apple. Man blames the woman. Woman blames the devil. Bottom line is, they messed up. Sin. Original sin. First sin. Mankind, from that point on, has had this problem, this disease called sin. But God loves us so much that a few thousand years later, right, God sends his Son, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is born, grows up as a man, enters his ministry in his mid-30s, teaches for about 3.5 years, is basically arrested, brutally beaten, crucified upon a cross, dies. They bury him in a tomb. 3 days later, he raises from the dead, hangs out on the earth, for a period of time, then ascends to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father God in heaven. That is, in essence, the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel and what I believe. Now, the Bible says that those of us who believe that Jesus did that, all right, and we believe in him and we receive him, the Bible says that we become his children, sons and daughters of God. And God the Father becomes our Father. All right. Now, what the scripture is talking about is kind of like an end times type scripture. What's going to happen one day, Jesus is going to come from heaven in all of his glory and all of his angels. He's going to descend from heaven, and there's going to be a great judgment on the earth. All right? We're just going to judge all the nations. The scripture talks about a thing that's called the rapture. There's a really, really weird movie coming out, and I don't recommend it, and it's called Left Behind. All right? I've seen the previews on it. I'm thinking, no, please, no, not again. How do we resurrect this thing? Anyways, because my personal opinion, it is really, 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 really bad theology in the first place. Do I believe in a rapture or the catching up of the church? Absolutely. But what I believe is those who died, those who know Christ and died before the return of Jesus, they get caught up in the air. And then those of us who believe in Jesus and are still on the earth, we get caught right up behind them. We meet the Lord in the air, but we don't go anywhere very far. We meet him in the air, and then we come back down. And Jesus, there's a judgment, and he establishes a kingdom on earth, a new heaven and new earth, for a 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay. Now, what you just got was a whole lot of theology, but hopefully simply like, wait a minute, that's really kind of like the whole book of Revelations and a whole, yeah, pretty much. That's like the whole end time story you just got. But it's really important because otherwise this scripture doesn't make any sense. It also means if you don't understand this principle, then some people have an unbalanced approach to taking care of the poor. Because they read the scripture wrong. All right. So when it comes down, there's going to be a separation. And he says, the goats go to one side. The sheep go to the other. I'm going to say it all night long because I'm like, it's like, I hate. Why can't there be sheeps? But anyways, the sheep will go to one side. All right. So this is what's happening in the scripture. This is at the end of the way we know the world, and everything begins to shift. All right, now, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on his left, and he will say, away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away, and they will go away into eternal judgment, but the righteous will go on to eternal life. Now, on the surface, you see the scripture, and it seems to imply that if you take care of the poor and the naked and the stranger and the sick and the prisoner, then you go to heaven and you're a sheep. If you don't, then you're a goat. And I've actually heard people try to explain this scripture this way, and what happens is it's a really good manipulative tool to use against people so they will join your feeding ministry or your clothing ministry or your blankets for the homeless drive or whatever, because you can convince them, if you try hard enough, you bad people, if you don't give to the poor, you're going to hell. And what it does, it sets up this social justice system, which first of all, I think is biblically inaccurate when you take the totality of Scripture, and it says basically those who do works of justice go to heaven, and those who don't go to works adjustments have eternal damnation, and they burn in hell forever. Here's the problem with that. Next slide. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So what the Lord is saying here is, hey, wait a second. If your interpretation of Matthew 5 is do enough good works to the poor and you go to heaven, then it's in total violation of this scripture and a whole lot of other ones. You see, you're not made right with God because of good stuff you do. If it was, then you can boast, well, I'm going to heaven because I fed more poor people than you did last week. You know all those people on Frederick Boulevard, you know, or in Victor Boulevard? I went to McDonald's and bought them all Happy Meals, so I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell because you drove right by them in your Lexus. And there are literally some people out there that would hold to a theology like that, and it's just not correct. All right? Because this verse is very clear. You go to heaven not because of what you did, but because of what Christ did. Remember? Came from heaven, virgin birth, grew up, died, 3 days buried, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father. It's his death and resurrection that saves us and our belief in that. So then, why do anything? If we go to heaven and we don't take care of the poor, and we don't help people, and we don't serve people, and we're going to heaven anyways, then why don't we just like live it up, take care of ourselves, don't worry about those poor people, the little people in life, which ironically, sometimes I felt like the little people more than I wanted, but the point is, the heck with them, right? Well, look at the next verse. For we are God's masterpiece. Man, don't we love to hear that, how we're just God's special person? We're God's special young person, special woman, special man. You know, we're king's kids. Man, we like that. And it goes on. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Meaning, when you receive Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You become a new creation in Christ. He begins to change your life from the inside out. We are created anew in Christ Jesus. Now look what he says. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There are things, good things, like feeding the poor, like collecting blankets, like visiting a shut-in neighbor, like making a meal, like helping somebody across the street, cutting somebody's lawn, literally stuff that most people don't notice or don't consider super spiritual. Practical acts of kindness, of blessing people that I believe God has prepared for you before you were ever born, that you would have an opportunity to see that person and see that need, and you would have an opportunity to do it. Opportunity. See, there's a difference between opportunity and requirement in order to go to heaven. One, there's no burden to it. It's just the pleasure of doing it. The other way of looking at it, it's this huge condemning burden upon you, and you always wonder if you gave enough, did enough, collected enough, served enough, and you're always wondering, is God pleased with me? And there are some people that I've run across who have ministries of social justice, of helping people, that are the most angry, bitter people you could ever meet. And they will tell you, or they will feel, that you are not a very good Christian if you don't serve the needy as much as they serve the needy. And basically what they're saying is, my righteousness is greater than your righteousness because of my works. And we're not made righteous in the sight of God by our works. Now, I believe, all right, The next slide is why we do it. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. It's so important in the refuge because I really want us to be involved in reaching out and touching people's lives, but I don't want us to burn out and die doing it. And I don't want us to feel shame and guilt if we don't collect 1,000 blankets. Say we only collect 300 or 400. Does that mean we failed? No, it doesn't mean we failed. It means we did a good thing that God created beforehand that we could do as a small refuge community. And there's no shame in that. But I don't want you to think that we're more special in the eyes of God because we gave away blankets and another church or ministry didn't. That's not the point. We're God's masterpiece because he picked us and what Jesus did for us. Now, because he loves us so much, our response should be, hey, let's help people. Why? Because God loves us. There's a difference. If I give you a cup of water, if I give Adalia a cup of water so that she will love me, or I give her a cup of water because she loves me, on the outside, it looks the same. She gets a cup of water. My motivation is different. My motivation is I'm trying to get her to like me. Jesus says when you serve the poor, you're serving him, right? So if you give a poor person something so that Jesus loves you, or if you give them something because he loves you, on the outside it looks the same. You gave a homeless person a blanket. But the motivation is completely different. One motivation says, because God loves me and I had an extra blanket, I want to give you my blanket. I don't have to run around and give people blankets hoping God one day will love me. You see, the sheep in the first scripture, what Jesus was saying is, if you really are a believer and you really understand how much I love you and what I did for you, your natural response should be, help the poor, help the naked, help the needy, help, visit the prisoner, take care of, you know, the stranger. It ought to just be something you do. Why? Because sheep do certain things. It's the proof of what you are. It doesn't make you a sheep. It just shows, you know what, you're acting like a sheep. And the goats are the ones who are acting the way they should. Now, I'm not giving you anything. I'm not doing that. I'm not helping you. Why? Because they really just don't have a reality of understanding of what Christ has done for them yet. And look at this next verse. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and anointed him to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. All right, next verse. I think it's the last one. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. So what should we do? Well, we should believe that God will anoint us and help us to do what he did, which is what? Preach the gospel to the poor, the needy, help people. All right? What should we do? What do you have the ability to do? That's it. Pressure's off. If you don't have any blankets, there's no shame. Don't worry about giving away a blanket. If you get a house of 20 of them and you don't need 20, then do what's in your power to do. Give away a blanket. If you're driving down the road and you see a guy out there collecting money or panhandling or needing a sandwich or food, and you've got an extra sandwich, or he's right outside a McDonald's and you have some extra money, and you can swing through the drive-thru and you can buy him a meal, that was in your power to do. If you don't, you shouldn't feel guilt and shame like God doesn't love me because I couldn't help buy that guy a meal today. It's not the point. What's in your power? It's the attitude of our hearts that God's pleased with. What can you do? I was told that there was a young person who heard we're collecting blankets for the homeless. And shortly after hearing about it, the next thing they did, they started going to neighbors collecting blankets. Why? Because that's what sheep do. It was a natural response, right? It wasn't because some pastor was beating them over the head to collect blankets. I think we're going to have opportunities every month to do something to bless somebody. And here's a classic question I always get. Well, what if those people are manipulating you? Well, what if they are? Could you afford the extra meal? Well, yeah. But what if they didn't really need it? Could you afford the extra meal? Well, yeah. There you go. Did you feel led to give it? Yep. There you go. When Jesus comes down in his glory and there's separation between the goat and sheep, he's going to recognize you as one of the sheep, because what you do as a sheep, what you do as one of God's chosen kids, is you love people and you help hurting people. Them being manipulative and lying doesn't change who you are in your heart. It just reflects maybe who they are. Are there people who misuse the system? Yeah. Now, some pointers on helping the poor, because we help a lot of needy people at Harvest, but there's a whole lot of people in the system that abuse the system. We know that. Do you still work in the House of Blessing with the food distribution? Yeah. And you'll see, sometimes, you know, somebody drives up in a Lexus, right, collecting bags of grocery. I'm thinking, I wish I had the Lexus. Do we turn them away? No. What happens if you help 10 people because your heart is that of a sheep and 8 of them didn't really need help? What did you do? You helped 2 people who really needed help. That's a really good thing. Who separates the sheep from the goats? God. And the wheat from the tares. It's not our job to separate. Just trust the Holy Spirit on what you're supposed to give. I want to encourage us today, and I'm going to pray, and we're done. Live in a world with eyes wide open. If you don't have to earn your salvation by doing good works, you should never burn yourself out trying to help people. But if you do good works, because Christ loves you already, and you have a heart that says, I want to help people, God will bring people into your path your entire life that you'll be able to bless. Now, can I give you a personal testimony? Every summer, we take a group of teenagers to Baltimore. We minister in East Baltimore in some pretty crazy neighborhoods. Bobby was telling me he grew up in Baltimore, and there's some places down there we drive through, and you know, you go through 10 houses that are just boarded up, nobody's in them, and then you find 3 that there are. And there's neighborhoods the police don't even go into. They just got these little cameras that watch it, and when somebody's getting mugged, they send somebody, but they don't just normally go around. And we work at the methadone clinic, and we just minister to the addicts, and we minister to people. And I remember a couple years ago, and it happens every year, we're back in a missions house, and we're debriefing from the time going out and giving bread and coffee and loving people. And all the time, my young people say, I met this lady named Emily, and this happened, and I prayed for her, and I met this guy named Billy, you know, and I met this lady named Mary, and she had 3 kids, you know, and you know, Tanisha and LaShonda, and she names them all and all this stuff. And I prayed for this and that, you know, and they're sharing all the testimonies. And the missions leader looked at me like tears in his eyes and said, that's amazing. I said, what's amazing? You hear about miracles all the time, right? He says, no. Every one of your kids knew the name of the person they were praying for. They just wanted a project on the streets. They knew their name. Do you realize every person that you see that has a need, They're a person in a bad spot with a name and a mom and sometimes kids and family and a rough life. I always remember, with the compassion of God, to try to at least ask their name. And in your effort to reach out and love them, you may say something dumb once or twice while you're doing it, but they're going to be blessed that you even want to know their name and share yours with them. We're in the streets of New York City. We're ministering to the homeless. And I had a young girl, her name was Star. She's married and got her own kid now, and because everybody gets old in this ministry but me. And just loving on this homeless person, she goes, "So where do you live?" And this homeless person looked at her, "Right here? I'm homeless." It's like, she goes, "Oh, that was a dumb question." She goes, "No, but thanks for talking to me." And we would just hug them, right, Adalia? Just hug them and love them. But you don't have to go to Baltimore to do that, all right? We don't have to go to Baltimore to do that, right? So why do we help hurting people? Because what Jesus would do, and it's because he loves us, not so he loves us, right? Right? And on the day of judgment, there'll be a separation between the righteous and those who aren't. And it's not the good things that made them righteous. It's because they were righteous in Christ that they did good things. Does that make sense? Any questions? Because you're going to see, I'm going to pray for you and ask God to open your eyes to a bunch of needy people this week, and you're going to see some. And then you're going to give me testimonies like, "Pastor, really, seriously, dude, I met this person. It was awesome." Any questions? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Refuge family. God, I thank you for each person that came out tonight and literally gave some of their life tonight to be with us. Father, I thank you for Blankets for the Homeless. I thank you for Mariah and what she's doing. I thank you, Lord God, that in the next couple weeks, we're going to help her. We're going to collect some blankets and some clothing for the homeless. Lord, I pray that one day, probably in November, we'll get to go out in the streets with her and just help her hand some of the blankets out to the homeless and meet some of the people that she loves and serves every week. But Lord, until that day, open our eyes. Let us see the Jesuses on the streets that are needy and we can minister to. Because Lord, it says, if we minister in love in your name, it's like we're ministering to you. Lord, I pray for the series of messages coming up on Simplify. Some of us, the very idea of meeting a needy person almost puts us over the edge in stress because we're already wound so tight because we seem like there's no life left. Lord, help us in 4 weeks to simplify so we have time to love hurting people in our city. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. I love you.